You know, so we're going to talk. So think about your family traditions, Kenny. I was thinking about that. And all the goofy things that we do during Christmas, we do them because tradition, and we believe it brings strength to our family. But some of them are silly. The name tags and the stuffing that you don't like, you go through the line and you get it anyways because you don't want to hurt grandma's feelings or something like that. And man, I tell you what, I'm just not a stuffing person, but I'm going to have to apologize to my grandma when I get to heaven that I was just taking it to be kind. You know, I'll talk about some of my things here in a minute. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, talking about bearing things. And I want to let you know what bearing means. It's bearing is typically a load, a heavy one. Say heavy one. So when we get to talking about heavy loads, I don't want you to be afraid, Dave, to bear a load, because I'm big into bearing other people's problems just as long as they're not like real big. You need me to pray for the sniffles or something, I'm your guy. But sometimes when God has called us to move out of our comfort zone and actually, Lori, lay hands on the sick, I want to make sure, hold on for a second, if you want me to go pray for that person, I'm not going to get sick either, right? You don't have to answer. That's part of bearing. And if God calls you, God will cover you for that. I'm going to be honest with you. And I believe that. That's not just preacher talk. I believe that God is enough to protect you through the things that we're going through. Put on then as God's chosen one's holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. There it is. Remember, it's the heavy load. Talking about your family. I titled the message, Take Care of the Family. Say that with me. Take care of the family. So I believe in order for the world to get better, you take care of your family. You, me, take care of your family. And then when your family's well taken care of and it's in good condition, we can help each other bear one another's loads. Amen? But I'm going to take the advice from somebody I heard in this church last week. They said, don't try to help somebody else with their mess if your mess isn't fixed yet. Oh, I knew I'd get an amen out of that. And it's usually the girls that'll say the amen to that, because usually it's a girlfriend that wants to help with somebody else's mess when theirs is messier than the one they're helping with. Just say true and I'll move on. That's what I'm saying, is we got our own thing to fix, and when it gets really good, then I can help a lot of people. Amen? All right. And humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Remember that. So we must forgive, verse 14. And above all of these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this is the word of the Lord. Amen. What that means, I'll make 2 points here and then we'll pray. You're waiting for someone else to serve you. That's what the world is waiting. We're waiting for someone else to serve us. And if they'll serve us, then I'll serve them. Don't do that. Be like Jesus. Go serve somebody today in one capacity or another. Hold a door. Send a card. Make a phone call. And first of all, for those hard phone calls to your family members, and forgive them because Christ forgave you. Amen. And you're calling today, just do this and you put it on me. See, my pastor told me to call you and let you know that I love you. I want to serve you. Is there anything I can do for you today? Amen. Very simple. And that's something we all carry around, are our phones. Amen. We all carry around our phones. And God wants us to use that to expand his kingdom. Compassionate hearts. Whatever moves God in his heart should move my heart today. And we do that all in humility and meekness and patience and then bearing with one another. Let's pray about that, and we'll pray that we're able to help and bear one another's load. So, Father God, regardless of how heavy and burdensome our families can get, whether it's this, that, or the other, Lord God, my prayer today is not that you lighten the load, but you strengthen our backs for the journey ahead so we can help all kinds of people. And Lord God, we know that the burden will be something that we do because we want to. And I ask today, Lord God, as our family members give today, that you bless them and that we can help many people on the days ahead, help them bear the load of these crises that we're going through. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let the offering be picked up, and let's be glad in the Lord. So applaud him today. Hallelujah. So I wanted to throw that, and I keep forgetting. So on your tithing envelope, is it's too late or whatever, email us up or text message us up one of your family traditions, because I'd like to talk about them this week, because some of them are really cool, and some of them are kind of funny. And some of them are some of the same traditions that you guys use in your family. You're like, you know what, man, I do that too. So we're not really like that weird. So go to Galatians chapter 6. And it says, and it's talking, and we're going to read 10 verses here. And it talks about bearing with one another. Here it's talking about bearing with one another's burdens in church. And I think it's not a stretch also to be thinking about your family as well. So we'll read these verses. We'll talk about it. And in here we're talking about restoration. We're talking about burdens, talking about heavy loads, talking about your family traditions. So he starts out in chapter 6, and he says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression." So sounds like a Bible term, but it's very simple. Transgression is a violation of God's law. Me and my daughter discussed this on the phone the other day. A lot of times we think that God is just the God of the New Testament or the Old Testament, and he can't be the God of both. Well, let me tell you something. God never changes. Say that with me. God never changes. He never changes. So you're not gonna get something new today like it's a new God. God has been doing the same thing forever and will continue, and he's the same God from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the end of Revelation. Amen. And everything in between. It's very important to understand that God's character never changes. And I can read about his character, find out about his character, study about his character in the bowels of this Bible. And these are things that me and my daughter discuss, because it's very important that you and your family be theologically sound, because there's a lot of other teachings out there, and quite frankly, they're very restrictive, and some of them are very off. Let me say this. I said this to Carol earlier. If you walk into a church and you can't pray how you want, you're in the wrong church. If you walk into a church and you can't praise as you want, you're in the wrong church. And here's a final one. If you don't feel welcome when you walk in that church, you're in the wrong church. So there are some basic principles that I teach my family, because God is not a God of what we can't do. God is a God of what we can do. Amen? We always have to believe that the glass is half full. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load." Now, let me say this something about bearing. And I stopped here, Keith, because I want everybody to understand this for a second. God wants you to be part of the solution. So if I come, I'll use it like this because I don't know how to use another analogy, and it's pickup truck related. If you own a pickup truck, you understand how this is going to go. If you own a pickup truck, somebody is always going to ask you to help them move. That's a gimme. And I've talked about this before. This is an epidemic in this country. Watch this, Tina. So focus on five. Bevo, I didn't get to do this, so watch. And Bevo owns a truck. If you need help, something moved. He gets off. For each will have to bear his own load. So bear his own load. So that means, like, if I'm coming over to help you move Chad, do you ever do that? Like, you're loading up, you're helping somebody move, and you're doing it because, like, God's telling you to do it, and you want to be a servant, and I'm helping them move, and I'm moving some heavy boxes, got to let you know, in my truck. And they're over there, they're talking on the phone. Look at me, class. They're taping up boxes. Did you see that, Michelle? They're taping up boxes. Here's what I'm saying. If you call me to help you move, have your stuff packed. Say that with me. Have your stuff packed. Because you don't want me packing your stuff and moving at the same time. So he wants you to bear the load as well. And God's people said amen. So that's just kind of the... He wants you to be a participant and not have all your friends haul all the water for you. So he wants you to bear with it. So you always have the pickup truck analogy in your mind from Pastor Pat. Let the one who has taught the word to share all good things, the one who teaches, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. We'll talk about that. Whatever one sows, that he will also reap. And for the one who sows to his own flesh, will the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's very important that you underline that and highlight that. And two more verses. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So let's do this at least today. When we walk out of here, let's not give up because the world's broken and it needs the love of Jesus. Amen? So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone and especially to those of the household of faith. We're going to work backwards for just a second. Let us do good, especially to the household of faith. So household of faith is the assembly. It's the church gathering. We're here in the building. Let's make sure that we take care of God's house, God's people, in God's kingdom. And when this grows, we can help more and more people in the world. We have had more visitors in the last 2 or 3 weeks than we have in a long time. And it's simply just because there's so many churches that are shut down around in our neighborhood. And that's however they run their churches is the way they run their churches. I'm not, all I can do is I got enough work running this one. So they come because they want to be part of the household of faith, and they're working through some things at their church. And I think that's all good. They need to work through that, and they, people get ideas during this time. And they go, well, they did this, and they social, you know, and all distance and all this kind of thing. So we need to take care of, say that with me, take care. And that's what I titled this message, Take Care of the Family. So we need to take care and do good to everyone, especially in the household of faith. So whether it's house cleaning or prayer or phone calls or waving to somebody or encouraging somebody, you haven't seen somebody in a while, take care of God's house and call them up and see how they're doing or let them know you're praying for them all the time. Amen? That's called taking care of the household. So I relate that to this, and I don't know how to do this any other way than talk about my wife's cleaning habits in writing. And I don't understand cleaning habits because I'm a male. I walk in my bedroom and I see books, some of my books that are off of my bookshelf, and they're on the floor. And they're on the floor because she wants to clean the shelf. Males don't understand why the books have to be on the floor to clean the shelf, because I'm totally good with about the 3-inch reveal that's left on there. No, this is a problem in America, in all families. And I'll get back to that. She has a trained eye to see a cobweb all the way across the corner of the house. She goes, we're in her devotion, and she says, do you know there's a cobweb up there hanging from there? Oh, we're going to get you. And if it has to be during the middle of the devotion, you're out. And I'm thinking, that thing is supposed to be there. It tells me if the ceiling fans are working. You know, ceiling fans are when they don't act like you ain't got cobwebs in your house. Like, oh, we clean ours all the time. Liar. Who says this stuff? You're like, oh, man, I go home. I feel so good because Pastor Pat's family is messed up. It's a way to build your self-esteem up, right? Stop it. I have my issues as well. So taking care of the household of faith may even kind of look like that. You go, that is so silly. Who would get up and get a cobweb? Or put books on the ground. So I'm thinking that's a lot of work to clean a shelf that nobody's ever going to see, and it's in my bedroom. I'm like, man, there's some books down here on the floor. Well, I'm cleaning. So sometimes when we're cleaning God's house or cleaning our own house, or you're cleaning your spiritual house or your Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever, it looks. And I got to, can I tell you about this? When we do men's retreats, we use very little silverware. So there's really basically no cleanup in a men's retreat because we don't use silverware. And the silverware we do use is styrofoam. No. Go to 6-1. Let's get off of that. Boy, you go, he really is a Hoosier, I'll tell you. I'm being honest about it, though. Amen. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, violation, you who are spiritual, what does spiritual mean? Not holier than thou, Larry. But it means I'm mature in Christ and I'm going to restore you. I'm paraphrasing. I'll restore, which means to reinstate into original condition. Isn't that cool? When somebody's restoring like an old truck, like 85 square body Chevy. Oh, gotta love that. Show me the pictures. And or Harley. So wouldn't that be cool if we cared about people the way we care about old trucks or motorcycles? We're going to restore them, and we're going to restore them gently because people are fragile. The Bible even talks about how fragile people are. The Apostle Paul describes us as a jar of clay. So he's make sure that you restore them gently and make sure that you keep watch. I'm in 6:1. Keep watch over yourselves, lest you too be tempted. So what God is saying here is make sure that when you go to restore that person, restore them gently, and make sure you don't participate in the same sin you're trying to get them out of. And God's people said amen. Because a lot of times when we go out there and we never get back. And then I'm going to tell you what, that's dangerous. And sometimes we call that hanging out ministry work, and it's not. Bear with one another's burdens. So I told you, bearing means a heavy load. Turn with me into Matthew chapter 11. I didn't get to do this in the last service. So if you don't tell them that I'm doing it here, I'll be in good shape right now. 11. Let's start in 28. So we're talking about bearing each other's burdens. And Jesus wraps it up in the red letters here in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all who are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we do a lot of things for rest. Sometimes we need rest from our minds. Sometimes we need rest from our bodies. Sometimes we need rest in our marriage. Sometimes we need rest from work. But ultimately, the true rest that God can give us is the thing that we need so badly. Amen? So he says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So that's the goal today, is to learn from the Word of God. Listen to what he says. So he says the same thing Paul says, or Paul says the same thing he says. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen. Isn't that what we need right now? Is rest for our souls and peace in our minds and unity in our families and unity in our country. And it all comes through the love of Jesus Christ. Verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I often say this, when you get up in the morning, you're gonna hook your wagon to something. Just make sure you're hooking your wagon to Jesus Christ. And if you decide, watch this, and if you decide that day not to make a choice, the devil will make it for you. 6:3, we're back to Galatians. This is, for if anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor. So what this is we need to be listening to Jesus Christ, and sometimes we need to make decisions on our own. We don't always need our neighbor's advice. For each one will have to bear his own load. Verse 6 says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Now let me pause here for just a second, talking about family tradition. So here's the deal. So we need to teach, say teach. So we need to teach these principles to the rest of the family. So I'll give you an example. So when my wife, Grandma Vicky, gets on the floor on Christmas morning, she's teaching all the little ones about the love of Jesus Christ and why he came. And she does that through some props. It's a kind of little toys and little knickknacks, and they read this and that and the other. Well, we start out, as you know, there's teenagers there and there's little people there, and we sit on the floor with them. We get down to their level. We teach on their level with some of these tools, and the teenagers do not want to participate because they're too cool for school. I'm never getting on the floor with Grandma. Just hold on for just a second. We're teaching. So whether they want to participate or not, I still have to teach. Their decision will be up to them. It's called free will. But if I continue to teach the love of Jesus Christ, I know eventually it's going to marinate on their spirit enough where next year when they come back, they'll be sitting on the floor with the little kids and want to get involved. And that's exactly what happens. And they're like, can I, like, read the next one? And then we teach them like that. And then we always have a tradition with the little ones that spend the night at the house. I teach them the Word of God through a phone app. It's like a little Bible thing. And actually, Aaron's, Pastor Aaron, you can, his kids are pretty wild. I don't know if he was in here. I was gonna say. They literally are jumping on the couch going, I want to push the next button, because they know it's a tradition that we're going to do that every time they spend the night. So I'm teaching the Word of God to all the children who come into our house. So you can adopt some of these traditions, and this is what God wants us to do with the little ones or the big ones that come into your house. Amen. So we're going to talk about this for just a second. Verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God has not mocked you. And you might be thinking, when is God going to rectify the situation? He's really acting pretty slow on this thing. Does he really understand what's going on in America? Does he really understand that we got a pandemic? Does he really understand that people are dying of cancer? God understands all of it. God created science. We're waiting for the magic pill and the magic shot and the magic this and the magic this. Here's the deal. God has created all good things. And God's not going to be blindsided by everything that's going on. And let me tell you something about the mockers that are trying to keep God out of schools, off of money, off of police cars, out of the halls of Congress, and out of the Pledge of Allegiance. He understands this, that those God mockers can be turned around by the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like you and just like I was. Amen. The gospel still changes hearts. Oh, Lord. Say my family. I don't know if he can change Uncle Joe's life. I'll ask you to stand. We're about one verse early, but stand anyways. I want to talk about your Uncle Joe or your Aunt Susie. Do you realize how hard-hearted your Uncle Joe, your Aunt Susie, or your brother, your sister, wayward people, wayward, drinking, smoking, joking, chewing, and run around those who are doing? I don't think I've ever met a family that didn't have all these people in their family. I don't know that I've ever met a family that didn't have all these crazy crises. And I think actually it surprises us when they end up coming to Jesus. When Uncle Joe, I didn't think he would ever quit doing X, Y, Z, whatever it is Uncle Joe, Aunt Susie, or my brother's sister was doing. I didn't think they could ever get saved. I didn't think they could ever get right.
this mocking and all the things that are going on right now, let me tell you something. And after a while, I think it starts to affect all of us in one way or another. Verse 8 says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from flesh reap corruption, but the one sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." I got to figure out which one I'm feeding. Am I feeding? You always got to feed the flesh man, or do you feed the Spirit man? Feed the flesh man. He owes me something. He's got to fix. This, that, and the other. I got to feel good, and I got to. Or do I feed the Spirit man? I'll talk about this in a second. I think a lot of times when we're constantly focused on the flesh, we're always let down. I got to be real honest with you right now. You may not feel good all the time, Terry. You may not feel good all the time. I'll be very careful. I warn you. Don't be moved by your feelings every time you get out of bed. I feel. Everybody feels. I'm this, or I feel scared, or I don't know if I got a fever or a cough, or I don't feel. And it starts to mess with you for a minute. Just a minute. Can we be honest today? We're family. It's starting to mess with me just a little bit. Well, maybe it's messing with you because you're working so hard at trying to feed the flesh. Appease it, fix it, protect it. I think we should protect ourselves and be safe. I really do. I think we should. But I'm going to work more on my spirit man than I will the flesh man. And then when they come head to head, Pastor Bevo, Mike, the spirit man will win. The flesh may look a little different after it's all done and the fight's over. And everybody's always wanting you to look like you're shiny and new all the time. Gloria. Well, look at me for a second. What world do y'all live in? What world do you live in? You live in a different world than I do. I told you, be careful about appearance. Just because I may look like something, or I put on a little weight, or my hair's a little longer, or whatever the case may be. Man, I'm going to tell you what's going on inside in my heart is strong and thumping. Jesus is dwelling there, living there, and all is well with my soul. So he wraps up this thought with this: "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." I want to ask you a question, Christians and brothers and sisters in Jesus, and everyone on live stream. Do you think God brought us this far to drop us off right now in the middle of this right here? Hold on, I got to talk to somebody. And I just close your eyes, because I don't want to get in anybody's mix right now. But I just want to ask you, if you and your family's been through something, it's accidents and cancers and disease or COVID, and just raise your hand, and I just want to start praying for you over the sanctuary and over the live stream. Because here's the thing with Pastor Pat and Mike, I ain't giving up. And the reason I'm not giving up is because Jesus ain't gave up on me. And I'm not giving up on, and I don't want you to give up on me. They ain't thrown dirt on me yet. That day will come, but it's going to be a minute. Pastor Pat plans on being around for a little bit. Amen. So you got to figure out what I want you to do today is make up your mind. Don't let the enemy make it up for you. Is just tell him today in this sanctuary before God and the rest of your family, I don't plan on giving up. Just straight out, just go, you know what? I ain't giving up. I'm not going out that easy. And here's the deal: when I do decide to, or God comes to get me, I want my boots on. When he comes back to get me, I want my work boots on. I want to be doing something. He can come and get me off a horseback or something, or off my motorcycle, whatever, but I don't want to be out sitting in the corner sucking my thumb like a little Christian baby. Oh, woe is me. Woe ain't me. Woe was me before I was born again. That was a condition. Woe was me. But woe ain't me now, because I'm born again. And if you're born again right now, you ought to be shouting for the Lord right now, that his hand of protection's over you and your family. Woe ain't you. Look at your neighbor and say, woe ain't me. Let's pray. Lord. Somebody might need prayer today. If you are, just right where you're at, we can pray for you right there. Just raise your hand. And then I'm going to ask you, do you know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Here's what I believe. Laura, you correct me if I'm wrong. If people don't come to Christ right now in the middle of this mess, I don't know when they're going to come to Jesus. You can turn on your phone for about 30 seconds and you can see that this land and some human beings have lost their ever-loving mind, and the reason being is the lack of Jesus Christ in their life. It's a simple fix. I don't mean to simplify it, but being on this side of being born again, man, I'm telling you what, when you give your life to Jesus, all the rest of that stuff's got to go. So let's pray for them. So Father God, if there's someone here today who doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray that they come to you. And for all my friends that are out there that are struggling with cancers or COVID or accidents or mental things, that you would cleanse them, heal them, in Jesus' name, amen. Can we please all together online and in the house of the Lord give God a big shout today, amen. God bless y'all.